Oh yeah, bum, 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 bum. Well, hello everybody, blessings and peace on you. Boom, Open Door Praise Band right there, Open Door Worship, and a song that I wrote called Advent. That's what that's called. That's actually me playing lead guitar right there, and our worship pastor AJ was good enough to let me play that day. Most times he just kicks me off and says, no old folks allowed. That's what he says. He's no fun. It's no matter. I'm his boss. He doesn't listen to me. Dadgum. Anyway, whatever. So, guys, welcome, 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 guys. Today's podcast is actually going to be coming to you from one of our staff meetings that we do here on Tuesday mornings. It's strictly limited to our staff. We have lots of people. Can I please come to that? Nope. But you can listen to it on podcast. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for subscribing to this. Will you please tell your friends about Experiencing Real Life? Will you please tell your friends about, hey man, I listen to this podcast every week and it is such a great big blessing. Be sure and comment on this and give us a bunch of really cool stars. Now, if you want to only give us one star, can I please direct you to another podcast? Because that's not this one. Also, too, man, I want to tell you guys, man, as always, friends, we're taking on hell with a water pistol. And one of the things that we do here is every single week, we're like, okay, how do we make faith applicable? How do we make the prophetic applicable? How do we walk that out? And how do we make supernatural, just naturally super? How do we do that? How do we bring the super into the natural and constantly do that? So you know what, friends? Let's you and I get ready to go to we're going to a staff meeting here, and there's a room, I don't know, it has about 30 or 40 people in it, and it's on a Tuesday morning, and let's get ready to go there right now. Here we go. Okay, well, good morning, everybody. Man, welcome, welcome, welcome to our, what do we call this? Our Tuesday morning staff meeting, right on. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about talking about us going after faith in a way that is supernatural faith. And so it's kind of a theme of this year, and it's going to carry over into next year because this is the 19th year, right? You all know it is a golden year, and you guys have already heard the prophetic word for the year. And guys, we're about to hit 100,000 views, by the way. Yay, 100,000 views for that. And that's on YouTube. And guys, when I come here and talk to you, I just don't want to talk to you for the sake of talking to you. And I thought about this yesterday. I thought, I'm going to get together and tell you all the things that me and Leanna need to talk to you about. And then I'm just going to say, now let's dismiss and let's all go to work, because I really don't have a word, but I do have a word. Man, the Lord gave me a word last night. And I'm trying, now that I'm an old man, I'm trying hard to go to bed early and get up early. And that's really hard for me. It's very hard. Number one, it takes me a long time just to wind down. I can't wind down in 30 minutes. It takes me hours to wind down. And then when I finally do wind down, it takes me a while to get in a mindset to actually go to sleep. And I think, what am I forgetting? What am I not thinking about? And as soon as I get up in the morning, what's my plan? And I have to sort all those things out. I can't just go and just lay down on a bed and go to sleep. That's just not me. Plus, I'm a worthless musician, and musicians like to sleep till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And like to stay up all night long and practice and do all that kind of stuff. And I mean, I'm in my 50s and I spent, you know, my 20s and 30s living like that. And I swear it just programmed me. And I have had such a hard time getting past that. I really have. So if you're somebody that has trouble sleeping, maybe we ought to do a podcast on that, on how do you go to sleep then? And how do you make sure that you have rest? And how do you do all that kind of stuff? Because I have to think that out. I don't randomly go to sleep. I actually have to be strategic in how I go to sleep. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm just telling you, it's wisdom. It's just wisdom. So last night, man, the Lord gave me a word, and I just got to thinking about the extraordinary faith that is in our room, because this room right here, man, guys, there is some great faith in here. There really and truly is. And every single one of y'all have such an incredible story of what God has brought you through and what he's bringing you to and how real and how awesome it is and the kind of faith, the kind of hope that the Lord has given you. Somebody, I can't remember exactly who it was, but somebody put on my Facebook Praise God. Look at my gas gauge. I'm sorry. She was actually pumping gas, and it was 11,555 was at the bottom of it. It was 11 gallons, 555. And she missed the big numbers at the top, which was 29:11. Can anybody think of a 29:11 scripture? Jeremiah 29:11. And just exactly like that, man, we get so happy about the little bitty bitty things, which is great because we're trained to find the little bitty bitty things, that sometimes we miss what's directly in front of us. Okay? And I just went, oh my gosh, that's exactly what God told me to talk to you guys about this morning. And I woke up this morning and there was the verification. And that's something else too, man. Be looking for God to confirm His word. Be looking for God to verify His word. That's a big part of living a prophetic lifestyle, is go, okay, God's telling me this. And you know what? I'm going to ask God to confirm that. It does not offend Him to confirm His word. He loves to confirm His word. The Bible says that every word is established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And that's a big part. You know, you don't just have to wander through things. You're like, I believe God is talking to me about this. I think God is talking to me about this. And I think this is what He's telling me. Now, Lord, I need You to confirm it. I need You, God. Be sure, God, and let me know, God, confirm this. And He will confirm His word. He loves to do that. That's why He loves to confirm the gospel with signs, miracles, and wonders following. Right? He doesn't confirm the gospel by how many people are in church. He doesn't confirm the gospel by how big the offering is, by how many likes you have on Facebook. He confirms it by signs, miracles, and wonders following, which means transformation. Right on? So the whole point of signs, miracles, and wonders is to bring transformation. That's what it's all for. So He loves to confirm His word. I was talking to Tabitha the other day, and Tabitha was like, I asked God, is this really true? And do you know this certain thing? Okay. And she said, and then God confirmed it this way, this way, this way. What I got out of that is, thank God Tabitha is somebody who doesn't just go, well, I'm hearing God speak and run with it. She's like, I'm hearing God speak. I'm asking God to confirm it. Right. And that's not you not having faith. That is you actually having faith. Right on. You guys tracking with me on that. So there's nothing wrong with that. That's what you do. Well, whenever I think of seeing the big thing, missing the big thing because you're working so hard on the little thing. And by the way, I want to say one more thing about that. That's a learned posture to see the little thing instead of just see the big thing. But the balance of that is you still can't miss the big thing. Okay. And this is a practice. This is something that we work at constantly. There's a guy who used to be the chaplain of the Colorado Buffs, and he was, amazing prophetic man of God. He was so awesome. And he actually, probably 20 years ago, he had this prophetic vision. And the prophetic vision was, he saw a big giant billboard, and at the bottom of the big giant billboard was a little pink pig. And he looked at it and he went, wow. And then the vision went away and God was like real quiet, like, interpret that. He said, oh, I know what that means, God. I know exactly what that means. That means tomorrow night when I'm preaching, I know that pigs represent unclean things. So tomorrow night when I'm preaching, you're telling me I need to preach on holiness. And I need to preach on sanctification. And I need to preach on, you know, not being unclean. And he waited and God didn't say anything. And then he said, no, I know what it is. I know exactly what it is. Okay, there's like the demoniac of Gadara, and the demons went all these pigs, the pigs went off the cliff, and it means that there's going to be big time demonic deliverance tomorrow night, and I know exactly what that means. It's all about supernatural warfare, and God didn't say anything. Then he said, I know what it is. There's certain things you're supposed to be a part of, certain things you're not supposed to be a part of, and after a while, he just ran out of pig scriptures. And God never told him what it meant. And so in his vision, he went before the king and he said, King Jesus, I don't know what it says. I don't know what your vision is saying. And God spoke and said, did you read the billboard? And he thought about it and went, no, I never did read the billboard. And he asked the Lord in his dream, will you please show me the billboard? Smoke goes away. He sees the billboard and it says this, do not be distracted by little pink pigs. And that sounds like a joke and it's a really funny joke, but it's a very real dream that this guy had. And I want you to, because this guy's a jokester and because that kind of language means something to him, that's the way that God spoke to him about. And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm missing the big picture because of the minutiae of the small things that I'm involved in. right? And it was exactly what I was talking to you guys earlier about. It's great that you're doing your job, but if we're not doing our job and making sure that these main priorities are done, there's no point in us doing our job, because we're doing our job to make those things happen, right? Well, just exactly like that, in the supernatural, when the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us prophetically, it is very, very easy to become distracted by little pink pigs and miss the big thing. When it comes to faith, and when it comes to supernatural faith, not just faith that is unto salvation, which of course that's supernatural, that does not come from us, that comes from Jesus himself. We have to connect personally with King Jesus in order to have faith unto salvation, right? Okay, that's great. But once you get on the other side of the cross, there's the gift of faith. Now, the gift of faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit that you have to exercise, the same as any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's the kind of faith that you exercise and that you practice and that you get getting bigger and bigger and bigger, the same as any of the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's the kind of faith that says, well, I have faith to get me from here to heaven, and that's good. But do I have the kind of faith that's going to get heaven to me? And do I have the kind of faith that's going to get heaven into my workplace? Do I have the kind of faith that's going to be, and that's always about breakthrough and transformation. It's always about vision. You know, if any of you guys are business owners besides the job that you have here, and by the way, I love that. It's one of the things you're never going to catch grief from me is making money outside of here. Like, do it. If you can do it and still do your job here, I bless that. And that does not make me jealous. That's just ridiculous. And as a matter of fact, there's a lot of churches all over the world, including in the Ukraine, which me and Otis have both been there at separate times and worked with the same guy. That man of God won't even let anybody pastor in any of his churches. And I don't know how many churches he has. You probably know, Otis, how many churches is he? He's got about 50 churches. Say, I want to pastor a church. Okay, show me your business. Because if you can't run a business, then you can't run a church. And he will not even let people become pastors in his church unless they're big time business owners. And whenever he's raising somebody up to be an awesome man or an awesome woman of God, the first thing he does is not teach them theology. The first thing he does is not teach them how to preach. The first thing he does is, let me show you how to start a business and let me show you how to maintain it. And then once they graduate from that and they're making an income, then he's like, now let's start working on how to be a shepherd. Because the bottom line is, there's not much money in the Ukraine. And if those guys are not making money outside of the church, they're liable to become thieves. It's genius. And besides that, if you got a business, do you know who you hire? You hire the people in your church. That way there's an economy in your church. That way you're actually invading the world of whatever that is. He owns an electric company. He owns a water company. He owns 8 restaurants. He owns a bank. He's got his own private bank. Like, what is that guy in the mafia? Probably. He is Russian. But with that said, man, I was like, whoa, it's just so genius. So there's a kind of faith that God will give you, a vision for your own life and a vision for other people's life and a vision for how things can be different. And I want to kind of tap into that. So I'm going to give you guys a couple of real quick principles. I got 11 minutes left here. This is good stuff. Okay. We all know the story that says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, where Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. And whenever we think that, we think, well, all we need is a little bit of faith. And he's actually talking about the size of the faith, okay? But he's talking about, listen, a mustard seed, one tiny mustard seed is programmed to be a really big plant and to produce a whole bunch. And there's the kind of faith that is a walnut seed that's never going to grow anything. Right on? Popular kind of faith. The kind of faith where everybody's like, yeah, okay, like Jesus is coming back someday. That's really good. Praise God that you believe that Jesus is coming back someday. That's a walnut. But there's a kind of seed that most people dismiss, the kind of faith that Jesus is offering us that is little bitty tiny, and the huge majority of Christianity misses that. And that's what he's actually talking about. He's like, if you have this little bitty kind of tiny faith that I'm whispering, okay, I'm not screaming, I might actually be whispering in the volume of a thunder, but everybody's only hearing the thunder and they're not hearing the mustard seed that I'm giving. Right on? He says, if you got that much, man, it's going to bear much, much, much fruit. And that to me is an indication of this. You don't have to have a walnut-sized bunch of details. You don't have to have, you know, what is the biggest seed you guys can think of? I'm trying to think of a big seed. What is it? An avocado? Is a whole, yeah, it's got a big old seed in it. Okay, so you know a big old monster avocado seed, right? So what is it?
Mango.
Mango's got a big seed in it, right? Peach got a pretty big seed in it. Okay, well, those big, huge seeds have tons of details. It's very safe. You know exactly what it is. It's easily identifiable. Mustard seed is not. And the kind of faith, man, that Jesus is trying to give to us that produces the most fruit is the kind of stuff that he'll whisper into our life and we dare to believe that was God and that can happen. You don't have the details. You don't have the teams. You don't have the money. You don't have the know-how. But then, like I always like to say, it is one thing for God to reveal to you the plan. It is a whole other thing for you to conform your life to the image of God's plan. So you got this great big life and you got a tiny, tiny, tiny little mustard seed. How in the world are you supposed to conform your this giant life around something that all you know is this, right? That's the challenge. And that's why most people do not walk in what I call supernatural faith, because they can't make the jump. This is what everybody thinks. Everybody, this is what religion is going to tell you. Get it in your head, figure it out, and have it make the 12-inch drop into your heart. Baloney. You get it into your heart and you push it up into your brain and you make your life transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's exactly opposite of how religion puts it. So if God Almighty says to you, if he says, hey, look, if the Lord whispers to you, if you're in Ukraine and God says, fill up a 10,000 seat stadium and do it now. Okay, there's 10, if I'm gonna come back and present that to you, you guys are gonna have questions that I do not know how to answer. And if I want to come back and do that, then we're going to need money that I don't have in the bank. And if we're going to do that, we're going to need permits that I do not know we're going to need permits for. And then we're going to have to hire management teams that I don't know that you need to manage. And then we're going to have to hire marketing teams that I don't know that you need to. And excuse me, how are we going to do this? No. Listen, we're not talking about an avocado seed. We're talking about a mustard seed. Which means, okay, all I've got is this. And I'm going with it. And I'm going to conform my life to the image of that plan. That's Abraham's walk. Abraham is the architect of supernatural faith that produces nations. Abraham is the type. He is the, whenever you look at him, he's actually the template. That's why he's the father. Okay? He's the pattern of what does it mean? He's out one day minding his own business. He has a good life. He's got a good daddy. He's got a good family. He's in the most prosperous place on the planet Earth. And he's in one of the most prosperous families in the most prosperous place in the planet Earth. Ur is a subdivision of Babylon, and it was where the rich folk lived. The rich folk of Babylon lived in Ur. And that's where his daddy was from. And one day he shows up to his dad and he says, Dad, he says, what? God spoke to me. And he told me I need to pack up and I need to leave everything. I need to leave your legacy because he's going to give me a new legacy. And he's like, where are you going? I don't know. You don't know where you're going. No, God told him, get up, get out, and I'll meet you out there. Well, this God didn't tell you where you're going? No, sir, he didn't. But he told you to get away from me. Well, how does that work? I don't know how that works. Did this God bother to tell you who he is? Which God is he? You know, we're Babylonians. We got 10 gazillion gods. Which God is he? He didn't say. Why would you follow a God that you don't know? Because he knows me. He called me by name. And he gave me a destiny. So all he's got is a mustard seed. That's all he's got. He doesn't have a walnut. He's got a mustard seed. And he has the audacity to walk away with faith as a mustard seed. And here we are in Johnson County, Texas, 4,000 years later, walking with the Lord because of his walk. Think about that. So I know for certain that whenever it comes to the kind of faith, you know, I've heard it preached 10 million times, faith is a mustard seed, but I never hear anybody explain that. What does that mean? I just told you what it means. I've heard 10 million, sir, I can't tell you how many messages I've heard on this, by faith, which just means all you need is a little bit of faith. Well, what that means is all you need is a little bit of detail. It's monster faith, but it doesn't have a lot of information with it. The information will come once you start walking in it. God blesses pursuit. As soon as I came back, I called Jerry and said, Jerry, God told me to fill up a stadium. We need to start looking at stadiums. George started looking at stadiums. We all started looking at stadiums. And then we found the Tarrant County Convention Center. and which is now called the Fort Worth Convention Center. And lo and behold, it had exactly 10,000 seats. Oh, dude, that's it. Then we figured out, okay, if you're going to rent that, and if you're going to rent it more than a year in advance, you have to also buy 600 hotel rooms. Oh, well, we don't actually have any money. We're just trying to rent this. Okay, so we got to wait until the date. The date that I wanted was the 20th. I wanted January 20th. Why? Because it's the 20th day of 2020, right? It's the 20th day of 2020, and 20 means expectancy. Because all I've got is faith as a mustard seed. So since I don't know exactly what's going to happen, I'm just expecting Jesus to be Jesus. That's all I got. I ain't got any. I don't have anything else. Okay, we get that. So we get the two dates. We get the 20th and the 21st. Yay! And then AJ started working with us to get all the AV in. And then what we found out is you have to have the 19th in order to have the AV in by the 20th. And it was too late. And then we called up there and they were booked. They're having a national gymnast thing. Like, what? Which means we're fried. We cannot, how in the world are we gonna get the screens in and the sound in on the 20th, the day of? It's impossible. So we go to the guys and say, can you do it? Yeah, you probably can do it, but it's gonna cost an extra 100 grand. We're gonna have to hire an army of people to make that happen. And by the way, I'm sure Amanda Cook will not mind. Nobody gets to practice. Nobody gets a sound check. Nobody gets nothing. Just walk in there raw and hope the whole thing works. You can't do that. I'm like, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? I'm pulling my really cool hair out and going, man, I don't know. I don't know what we're gonna do or how we're gonna do it. And then George contacts him up there, and are you ready for this? Tarrant County, listen, they sent us a contract. We signed the contract for the 20th and the 21st. And we call up there and talk to them. And you know what they did? They screwed up and they booked us for the 19th and the 20th instead of the 20th and the 21st by mistake. And that's not what's on the contract. We have the physical paperwork contract, don't we, Brandy? They messed up and did us for the 19th and the 20th, which I mean, we already had the 19th and we didn't know it. And we're like, please tell us nobody has it yet for the 21st. And nobody did. So we got it. There's no way I could know that stuff. I had never done it. So the Lord was like, no, just step in it and I'll make it happen. But that's how faith as a mustard seed works. You do not have the details, but you have to engage in something that you don't know what you're doing and go, all I know is that God is with me and he's telling me to do this and I'm willing to search out the matter. So in this is the kind of faith where God blesses pursuit. This is not wilderness faith. This is promised land faith. Now remember, guys, in the wilderness, what happens is you step into the wilderness, you cross the Jordan, and then because God knows that you're a knucklehead, he closes the Red Sea behind you. It doesn't just keep Pharaoh from getting to you, it keeps you from going back to Egypt because he knows how you are, right? And you're like, man, I can smell them onions. Y'all know those stories? They desired the leeks and onions. All that means is they needed something spicy. You ever get an itch sometime? You're like, I need something spicy. Like, what are you talking about? Well, whatever you're talking about. Hallelujah. So it's like, okay, well, if they got all this stuff, just it's kind of boring over here. Well, why is it boring in a wilderness? Because you're not allowed to do anything but keep your eye on God. And if God moves, you move. You don't know anything. I want you to think about it. When you're in the wilderness, he's a pillar of fire by night and he's a cloud by day. Your job is stay close to the fire so that you don't freeze to death. And your job is stay under the cloud so that you don't burn to death. That's your job. And if God moves, you move. And if God stops, you stop. Like, what's the point of that? It's to learn how to walk with God when you don't know what the heck you're doing. Because pretty soon, you're going to go over to the promised land, and it's a whole new set of rules. One of the most transitional verses in the entire Bible is this Bible that says, and they crossed the Jordan, and the manna ceased. Whole new set of rules for promised land. No more manna on the ground. None of that. You better go get it. Hardcore. Go get it. So then what's the rules there? The rules are this. Listen, in this place, you're going to have houses that you didn't build. You're going to have wells that you didn't dig. And you're going to have vineyards that you did not plant. And I want you to go. And I want you to go and conquer and occupy. That's what I want you to do. And I'm going to back you up. I'm not going to be in front of you in this place. I'm going to be behind you. So what you got in the wilderness is you've got a walnut, and what you got in the promised land is you've got a mustard seed. You're not going to have all the details. You're not going to know what to do. You need to decide. You're not going to leave me, and you need to decide that if you engage, I will back you up. Completely different walk. That's faith as a mustard seed. That's it. And so they did that, and when they didn't do that, they got in big time trouble. Well, God, you didn't move. Well, Troy, you're not in the wilderness. You're in the promised land. You're the one that's supposed to move, not me. But God, I'm used to following you and seeing exactly how it all works before I engage. Yeah, well, that's when you were a baby and you're supposed to be grown up here. There's a different level of maturity that's required in the promised land. So there's a different level of maturity that is required when it comes to walking with God and the promises of God and doing that in a way that you're living in supernatural faith. So I'm going to close, and I'm going to close by saying that I recognize some of you guys are already doing that. And I recognize probably all of you are doing it in some area of your life. And the challenge is for that to become normal and for it to not be taboo. It can't be weird if somebody says to you, if Sasha comes to you and Sasha says, you know, I feel like God's told me this. And I'm trying hard to wrap my head around what that means. And I'm trying to live that life because God said this about me. Okay, you need to go. That's it. That's rock star. You don't need anybody else's approval. You don't need it. You don't need an amen a corner, you know, an amen corner. You don't need board approval. You don't need tons of Facebook people giving you a thumbs up. What you need is say, well, all I've got is a mustard seed, but I promise you it's going to produce huge fruit. I don't have a lot of details. I can't really even describe it to you except for just say it's a little bitty tiny, but it's powerful. It's something that God is trusting me with, a little bitty powerful thing. Whenever Elijah comes before the Lord and he cries out to God in the cave, God shows up as a powerful wind, a wind that breaks rocks. And I want you to think about that. That's a strange thing. Okay? It's not a wind, but it has a physical nature about it that it busts rocks, a rock busting wind. I don't know if you've ever imagined what that looks like, but I try and think about it all the time. What does that look like? To me, that is a move of breakthrough. Where the Spirit of God moves and just starts destroying rocks. Things that you don't think can be busted by wind shows up. Then there is a supernatural earthquake. And by the way, we all need breakthrough, right on? But he doesn't move. Then there's a supernatural earthquake. And then the supernatural earthquake that happens literally transforms the land. What used to be high is now low. What used to be low is now high. What used to be on the right is now on the left. What used to be the left and on the right, and he still doesn't move. And by the way, we all need that to happen. He's like, no. That's not what I'm looking for. Then the Bible says a supernatural fire came. And I want you to think about what the supernatural fire was to Elijah. It was his ministry is back. He's at the top of his game again in his own ministry. At a time when he's at the lowest point in his life. God gives him back his anointing. He's a dude that calls down fire. He's like, nope. I'm not looking for all the things I've always had. I'm looking for something new. And then Jesus Christ himself whispers and says, Elijah, in a still small voice, not in the big things, not in the things that he recognizes and knows and things that everybody in the world would say, yes, and then it would be over with. He goes, no, I'm looking for the mustard seed. A still small voice speaks to him and just says his name. And then the Bible says he covered his face because he knew he was in the presence of the Lord. So still and small is the mustard seed kind of supernatural faith. And still and small is not just a description of the voice that comes to you. Okay, well, there wasn't a lot of pizzazz to it, and there's not a lot of detail, but I know it's Jesus. Still and small is not just a description of the voice that comes to you. Still and small is a description of the heart that is able to receive the word. And if you're too big and too busy, you will settle for the earthquake instead of the presence of God. I think applause is appropriate. Thank you. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Applause is always appropriate. Guys, welcome back to the studio here. I hope that you enjoyed that. This is stuff that we live by. This, you know, I don't get up and just tell a bunch of stories. You know, I get up and tell my own story. This is what God is doing with me. This is what the Lord is talking to me about right now. So this, of course, is what we're talking to all of the staff here about. If you'd like to follow me on YouTube or if you want to follow me on the web, just go to troybrewer.com. All the information is there. You can call 877-413-0888. Don't forget that if you have not subscribed to this, you're welcome to do that, because we send out a podcast like this every single week. And then we also have it on our worldwide network of radio stations that we air our podcast broadcast every single Friday. And if we're not in your local neck of the woods, that doesn't matter. Again, you can just subscribe, you know, Spotify or iHeartRadio or any of those places. But I just want to talk to all the leaders out there real quick and just tell you this. If your faith doesn't have a lot of detail, and if what God is telling you is really huge, it's all about moving a mountain, but you don't have any details at all, you know, that's faith as a grain of a mustard seed, and it's the right kind of faith. I really and truly do believe that God blesses pursuit, and as you step into it, the Lord will give it to you. He won't give it to you until you put your foot on it, because it's promised land living. Friends, thank you so much for joining me. I'd love to see you next week. If you're ever in Dallas-Fort Worth, be sure and come by Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. And friends, I call you guys the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. This is Troy Brewer signing out.